When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we get into Lotus and what Lotus is up to these days. We've got some new product coming out. We'll get you updated on some of the events coming up as well, possible cancellations. And
I'll tell you about the world's greatest mascot.
Oh, the world's greatest mascot. That's right. From your own junior college. I was surprised. I've never heard this. Stick around for that. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you probably own or rent. Sure you do, if you're listening to this. How about you bundle those policies with your auto policy? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policies. Good thing. And saves a bunch of time, saves a bunch of money. So just go to geico.com. Get a quote. See just how much you could be saving. Geico makes it easy to bundle. That's Geico, geico.com. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We got a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I sound a little different, Kalen. I don't know if there's something, some potentiometer to ride over there, but there you go. Man, of course, Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over
Hello,
there.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's, as you hear this, we just found out that Kevin of Kevin and Bean went off the air. So, you know, I got an email from Jimmy early this morning. And, you know, it's a weird, you know, I've just cobbled together these weird thoughts. Like, when I got, so my mom is like, really old and really decrepit right now, right? Like you would not. She
don't
just,
sugarcoat it.
She just looks like she's got one foot in the grave. I mean, she's really old and bent over and really rickety and everything else. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, when Kevin and Bean got to K-Rock, my mom was the age I am now. Now. Yeah. She still doesn't know who Kevin and Bean is. And my dad doesn't know who Kevin. Every once in a while, like one of these things happens and I go, oh, wow, what's my dad? And everybody says, oh, he doesn't know who they are. But it's weird to think how long they've been on the air because you picture my mom all sort of bent over. You picture me worried about the getting in our next Trans Am race. And my mom was my age when they hit the air and not much older than when Jimmy and me showed up just a few years after they got on the air. Or Jimmy and I. No, you can say Jimmy and me. So there was that sort of whimsical thought. The other is interesting. We're talking about all the cancellations, Fast Nine, our Peterson event, Le Mans, probably Indy. I'm assuming
also maybe your Trans Am race
my Trans Am race
going to happen at this point.
Yeah. The good news is Trans Am doesn't really draw. So there's not going to be anybody in the crowd. It's just going to be us out in the infield,
which would have been the case. But now the rules have changed from 250 people gatherings or less to like 10 to zero to immediate family. So now it's done.
I still have this weird thing, this thought that I'm going to wake up in 4 days and someone's going to go, yeah, it's not really that big a deal. It isn't that big a deal. I mean, it's not that big a deal to me. We're overreacting. We're fucking pussies. It's fine. I get it. Everyone's going nuts. You know, this thing of like, well, you can only be too safe. You can't be too safe. You have to give, okay, but then 38,000 people die in car accidents every year. Why don't you wear a fucking helmet when you get in your car? Why not? I'm serious. Like, why no helmet? Like, well, it's too much. It's like, okay, well, okay. We've established then things can be too much.
Yeah.
In the name of safety. So we don't know what we're doing. We're all panicked, and I get it. And my feeling is X amount of people are going to die from this. That's the way it works. X amount of people die on the roads. X amount of people die in the shower. X amount of people die of heart failure. I'm fine with it. We don't need to shut down the entire fucking world. But
we'd like to keep Tom Hanks.
We'd like to keep Tom Hanks, but he's fine. He got it. He sat in the hospital and he didn't. See, I think people think he got something special in the hospital, some like rich guy juice or something. But Drew says he just sat in the hospital and they just kind of monitored him, made him comfortable. And then they let him go to his rented house in Perth or wherever he is. You know?
Him and his wife.
That's it. That's what happened. He didn't get any special anything as far as Drew knows. They just monitored him.
That's it. He even tweeted and he's like, look, he's like, it's still like having the symptoms of bad flu. He's like, you know, you get up and, you know, you make eggs or something and you get a little winded afterward and you want to take a nap. He's like, yeah,
right.
It's just, you know, and I don't know. I guess there's nothing he can do at this point.
Well, now, thank God his submarine movie is in the can. Saw a trailer for a submarine movie. I'm excited about that.
But he was there filming an Elvis Presley movie.
Oh,
he was
going
to play the
Colonel.
Yeah, Colonel.
So then there's the Fast 9 thing, which is funny because I want to bring up as it pertains to you and Goldberg.
Yeah.
They keep running this Vin Diesel, you know, Brotherhood of the Fellowship of Speed commercial. And they got the trash cans lit on fire. They got Vin talking all slow about the quarter mile. And they got the quarter mile all lit with trash cans. I don't know how safe that is. We have to check if the NHRA has signed off on trash.
Like, that's
barrels.
Not the worst of their problems right now. So,
but the point is they, and then at the end it goes, coming, you know, May 9th or whatever. And I'm like, could you clean up that commercial? I've seen that commercial 11 times now. I get that you're running your commercial, but you've booted back the start. This movie's not dropping for another year.
Yeah.
Please reflect that in your commercial.
Right. So Bill and I were talking about that on the show this week as well, you know, as we're reading our own Dodge ads and saying, hurry into your local Dodge dealer. I'm like, or just call.
Right.
You know, just call your local Dodge dealer. But we were talking about what happens at this point, because Dodge was on the hook with a media buy and a tie-in with this movie, and the movie gets, you know, delayed a year. Not, you know, again, it's not a month, it's a year. And then we're saying, well, in a year from now they have to reactivate, right? They can't. So do they get is somebody going to cut them a deal? Either way, they're going to have to spend a lot more money, right? Even if the networks go, oh, well, if you keep your ads on now because you've committed to it, and a year from now you can rerun them, but we're going to give you 50% discount. They're like, okay, but it's a $90 million campaign, so a 50% discount is, you know,
$45
million. Yeah, or whatever the campaign really is. Like,
but do we not have the technology to alter the commercial?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have...
That shouldn't happen. Sorry.
We have a commercial. Oh, I have my phone here, too. I'm equally as guilty. Oh, wait. It's shut off. It's totally shut off.
I'm sorry. I use mine for notes.
Here's all the trash cans. I'll let them. Listen, don't get me wrong. I love watching these commercials. It's just
a house that stands strong, built on a foundation of fury, grit, and muscle, and home. Only a few.
He loves family, Vin does.
The brave.
Yeah.
The chosen.
That's right. Doing a little off.
Domestic.
Yeah.
Not domesticated.
Drifting.
This is our house. Some think it's home.
Oh, hold on. Pause it for a second. You can't have Vin walk past a whole bunch of hot models on the way to a mansion, then cut to Letty's face looking pissed off. That's a bad edit there, man. Like, Vin walks slow motion through a bunch of hot chicks in nursing outfits into a mansion. It looks like he's going to, you know, Plato's Retreat or something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that tied-on Letty going, what the fuck?
What's going on?
Let me see that again.
We were together.
That's a bad cut. He walks past a bunch of hot models are checking him out, and then they cut to her going, what the fuck? Nobody can edit. That's Max Pata, wouldn't you say the one thing you've learned from me is that nobody can edit?
Yeah, including me.
No, but nobody. Look, you've joined a notable cast of nobodies. You are an elite fraternity of nobodies. Nobody can edit. It's weird. Especially fast stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why would you? Like, people go, we got to get Letty in there. Okay. Have her after the burnout.
Yeah.
Don't just flip the two. Don't have her man walking through a pool of models on the way to Plato's retreat and then show her looking dubious and pissed off.
Yeah, a whole different emotion tied to it. They could have filmed that the day before all the model stuff. But
doesn't really show female empowerment either. This isn't like a strong drifting move or stunt.
And also,
this is her just being mad.
And when you look at it, the last model chick gave Vin, checked him out. She gave him the once over twice. She turned her head a little and was like, ooh, fresh meat.
She's like, I hope you're not gay.
So they're doing Brody's in the intersection. Yeah. She gives him and Letty's pissed. And now she's hitting the road. And I don't know what's going on. The thing that's great about these kind of commercials is when you look at the cut, there's 181 quick cuts in it, right?
Yeah.
You just happen to take the one where the guy was walking through the models and put his old lady looking pissed off back to back. That's what you guys did. That's what they did. Okay. Unless they were trying to do it.
They were trying to say she's mad at him for going on this.
He's going to Hef's place, man. He was walking to the grotto, and then they cut to her going, huh? Not even sure. What was her look? Tough, pissed, a little angry?
Brooding. Yeah, kind of. She was attitude.
She does
just
not
a
abide.
General disapprove.
All right.
Not joyous.
That thing was cut together over months.
Yeah.
Did they want her? Is that an intentional thing? This is the sad part about my life. I have to ask adults all the time, is this on purpose? Is somebody trying to do this? Or is everyone just a fuck up? I'm always asking, like, did they mean to do this? Like, what are they? What, maybe there's a plot line where Vin goes on his own. You know, they have to do that thing all the time where they do this thing in action movies where they go like, look, I got to go rogue, but I can't tell her. She can't know, because if they capture her, she'll know too much. So then she's like, Dom, I picked you Coronas. I went out to the Corona field and I picked a bushel of Coronas for you. And then he's like, sorry, lady, I got to roll. And then she's like, what, Dom? What? And he's like,
you love Coronas.
I'm gone. And he leaves. But you see a single tear going down his cheek as he's driving away in his Dodge because he wants to tell her, but he can't. So is there some plot line? Get Chris Morgan on the blower. Is there some plot line where
what's going on with this commercial?
He's walking into the Magic Castle with a bunch of hot chicks dressed in white silk. And then Letty's pissed, or is it that's just shitty editing?
Hold on. Why Magic Castle now? Is Magic Castle all of a sudden you go for all the hot chicks?
I named Plato's it looks like a castle.
Yeah, it does look like a castle.
I named Plato's retreat.
In Hef's place.
I'm running out of references. Walk into Jim Carolla's house. The seat doesn't work.
Yeah, I just thought, I haven't been to Magic Castle. I just thought maybe it was
It looks like go. A castle.
Well, unless you talk to Chris Morgan about it, I guess we'll find out April 2021.
2021. That'll be. We were saying, I think 10 is going to come out before 9 now.
Really?
No, I don't know. Could you imagine?
Don't get me excited.
He's like, how is that possible?
I don't know. Why is everything got to be? Okay, whatever. Look, it's a new world order, everybody. Everyone's a puss.
But
I told you, 50 years. 10 years, we all became chicks. Here we are. We're here. Now, I don't think people really understand that what's going on and how what we are and what we become. They don't see it. I've seen it. I mean, I wrote a book called In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks 10 years ago because I knew where we were going, and we're fucking going. More dudes wearing bracelets than ever before.
Not like a Not like a medical bracelet.
Just bracelets. Just, wooden beaded bracelets.
Yeah, not just a, if found me, call this number.
I don't mind the medic alert ones, like where you have like type 7 diabetes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If you're passed out, don't use allergic to insulin or whatever it is.
Yeah, right?
I don't mind those. Or even the ones with like your ship's name on it.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about wooden bead bracelets. Hmm. Blah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What? I don't know what the message is with the wooden beads.
Well, I don't know who I was talking about this to, but it's like, you know, the guys go, oh, my daughter gave me this bracelet. And I go, okay. Put that in the thin drawer of your desk next to that Fuddruckers gift card that you don't know what the balance is left on.
Just which put she it, also gave you.
Yeah, put it next to that one.
Yeah.
Just there you go. Thank you. Here we go. You don't have to put it on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can wear it to like church or a holiday dinner.
I wouldn't wear it at all. I just, if my daughter got me a bracelet, I'd go, thank you very much. And then I'd just put it in my drawer. I don't have to wear it. Yeah. By the way, if I get my daughter a really ugly sweater, she's not going to wear it.
No.
So what's the difference? All right. Toyota Supra is getting homologated for GT4?
GT4, yeah.
There's a GT4?
Well, the class of racing GT4 that they can, more of European racing. But
wait, there's GT1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, GT2? Is it just keep going down the food chain? How many modifications are made in a GT4?
So the
wait,
car...
what are homologated for GT4? What does that mean?
That means they made a racing car version, and then they got it approved by the sanctioning bodies and said, hey, can this be accepted now? Then Toyota can sell a turnkey race car, you know, basically out of their catalog. And it'll come with like an OMP seat, and it'll come with the roll cage, and it'll come with like a locked engine, and the engine will have a little bit more horsepower. And
do you think the engine will have a little more horsepower?
Yeah, so we know it will. It's going to be 430 horsepower.
Naturally,
well, it's a good question. It's not naturally aspirated now, so I think it's just a tune.
Yeah,
I'm going to say they're going to keep...
What's it putting out now? 380?
335?
Oh, really? Oh, so it's they stepped it up.
What's interesting, though, is the car's only been out like a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already said next year's street car is going to get a 47-horsepower bump. They already decided it's not attractive enough, you
at
know,
the price point.
At that price point. So they're going to give it a bump. So it's going to be 430 horsepower in racing trim. You know, KW coilovers, Brembo brakes, the roll cage, the, you know, the fuel safe cell and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also it will, I think it goes from about 3,400 pounds down to like 2,975. So just, that, it'll cut about 400 pounds
that, that's,
off of it.
It's a big deal. People
yeah,
don't
add 100
focus on
horsepower.
Weight.
Cut 400 pounds off.
No,
that's
nice. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
like I drove the street car. It's a good little sports car. It's like a good traditional sports car. You know, small and still fairly lightweight. And you know, in a world of you know sound systems and airbags and CarPlay and all the stuff we have to put in a car, 3,400 pounds, 3,397 or whatever is a fairly lightweight.
And by modern car. You know, standards.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And when you think about when we do things like big brakes, like, oh, we want 13-inch, 14-inch rotors and six-piston calipers, that adds weight to a car. So if you have a car that's 3,400 pounds and has big brakes and big wheel and tire package and 275s or 295s in the back,
mm-hmm.
and you know it, that's a fairly lightweight car by today's standards.
Yeah. Sean's at the other shop, and he's working away on the BRE 510, really mm-hmm. doing some really interesting work. When you talk about really high-end fabrication, to me, working with aluminum and doing like radius work is really
yeah.
where it's at. And he's really crushing it over there with some of these very bespoke BRE parts. I was just looking at the brake reservoir. That's a BRE part. A lot of the, it's interesting. I'm curious. Most of the stuff, I should probably talk to John Morton about this because I know John did a lot of fabricating back in the day.
And it's very fabricated stuff for a race car that seemed like it didn't need to be.
That's like, my thing. Like, I was looking at a catch can, radiator catch can, which just looks like this aluminum. It looks like a thermos, but better. And it's vented at the top and blah, blah, blah.
But
I'm like,
domed.
Right. It's domed. And it's got a whole bunch of really cool stuff. And it's sort of like, well, then that should just be one of those Sapporo tall boy cans, right? With the thing going into it. It's a catch can for the overflow for the radiator. And it's like, no, they made their own thing here, you know? And I'm like, why don't you just go to Jegs or whatever they had, you know, back then? I want to say Chilton's, but that's the guide. What was the catalog with all the SB Barnum or something or whatever? They had that parts catalog. Yeah. Max Pata, look up car parts catalog from the 70s or something. It was like SK Rykoff or was one of those things that's floating around in your head. And I was like, if I was building a race car, especially a 510 Datsun, like back in the day, I'd just be buying everything from there, and then I'd just be, I don't know, weld a bung on it so it'll accept this size hose or whatever. Everything be made out of tin.
Yeah, and you're right. Even just the radiator overflow tank was just like a cylinder, you know, like a whatever, like a Monster Energy can.
Yeah.
But it's domed on the top like a torpedo, and it's like, that's a lot of work.
It's domed, it's vented, like it's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. Like, what, not even a flat top, like just cap it off or put an AN fitting on it or even put like a radiator cap kind of bung on it.
Right.
It's domed off. And it was like, I was there this morning as well, and Sean was looking at it, and he was like, Jose, go to the parts bin and see if we have another one of these things. He was like, because I don't want to make this goddamn thing. He goes, I will if I have to, but he's like, let's make sure there's not a spare one floating around.
Yeah.
That's a J.C. Whitney.
Oh, J.C. Whitney. Yeah,
that's J.C. Whitney.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, J.C. Whitney parts. Yeah. You could probably get a lot of stuff there back in the day. So it's really
around. They're online.
J.C. Whitney's still around.
Yeah.
It's cool because when you pop the hood, instead of seeing a bunch of like aftermarket stuff that's bolted on, you see all this bespoke aluminum stuff.
Yeah.
That looks really cool.
Not a lot of prefab Moroso products down there.
Right. So that's, I guess, part of what makes BRE BRE. Let's see.
But definitely a lot more time consuming and stuff now, right? Like to do all of that stuff.
It's expensive. It's time consuming, and the answer is, what are your choices?
Right.
You don't have a choice.
Or do you? It's kind of like, do you make this decision? And it's tougher to make this decision for you because you have the other 510 there. But you could look at it and go, oh well, let's just buy the catch can and put one in there, and no one's going to really know the difference. But you've got the other car there, and so you know what all the BRE stuff was.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to look at the two of them side by side and go, well, why does this one look like it's made from a Summit catalog? The other one's all bespoke.
Yeah, and also, you know, you have to do it that way because this BRE car may be probably more for static display than it will be for racing anyway. So what use is, you know, it's going to be parked places with the hood popped up. You know what I mean? All right. What do you got?
Here's a question for you. Lotus is saying they're going to bring the successor to the Esprit, maybe bring that nameplate back. And I was saying, you know, earlier this week with Goldberg, good idea. Bring the Esprit nameplate. We brought back Blazer and Taurus and Bronco and Lusso, and you know, like, why not bring that nameplate back? But in your mind, what do you think a Lotus Esprit should be, considering modern technology and where we're at with these? It's not going to be an outrageously expensive supercar, but it'll be an expensive sports car, right?
Well, Lotus is always about nimble and light. Esprit, originally started off as a four-cylinder, mm-hmm. you know, turbocharged mid-engine car, light. I still think those first-gen Esprits, you can find them out there pretty cheap, pretty low mileage, and, you know, I'm sure they're a finicky mess, but not a bad collector car to get your hands on. And then they went the same direction that the Datsun Z car went. And I was about to say that the Supra went, but the Supra was always bulky and heavy and big.
Yeah.
And always it was always a big kind of wide flared. The first generation Toyota Supra was big with, you know, big power seats and stuff in it. People used to steal those cars and steal the seats. Because the first gen Supra was like the first car, I want to say the first, but one of the first production cars to have a seat that was like adjustable and mm-hmm. electric and whatever. I don't even know if it was electric, but you could adjust the bolsters and stuff like that.
And
so like you'd see once in a while back in the day, like a 78 Z car driving around with tan and beige Supra seats in it because somebody stole the seats and put them in the thing. Now, boy, seats have come a long way. The point is this. Lotus then did what Datsun did with the Z. They went from a straight configuration to a V configuration to turbochargers. And at the end, they were at a V8 with twin turbos on it. I mean, small displacement, but still a V8. And they just kept getting a little bigger, a little heavier. And like everything, you get away from, you know, like a cool niche little coffee house that ends up franchising. You know, you just kind of get a little commercial, you get a little big, a little bloated, and a little way, get a little further away from the initial versions of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like the Z, I guess it went away because you sort of get, again, it's like a company that just gets too big and bloated and fails at some point. And then at some point, you know, 10 years goes by or 20 years goes by and someone goes, I miss that coffee place or whatever. And then you realize, oh, there's some brand recognition, some name recognition. So somebody brings it back. And then when they bring it back, they go, we're going old school. We're going to go back to our roots.
Yeah, small, you know,
we're going to
have
a lighter version
whatever,
of this. And we're going to get back to what got us here in the first place. You know, we lost our way. So I guess the Z car and the Esprit, you could probably see them following the same kind of trajectory, I'm guessing.
So the Esprit, they're saying...
So it should be light.
It should be small and lightweight, but when you start getting into technology, how do they make that car perform as well as a lot of the cars today, knowing that they maybe they still partner with somebody like a Toyota on the engine or something.
Well, I will say this, back to the theme of the day, which is lightweight. You know, when I used to do all my B sedan races and every one of us was in a Datsun 510 or 610 or 710 or a BMW 2002, you know, the bunch of those cars, there'd be always some guy in a Lotus 26 or 26R.
Yeah, yeah.
And that guy had a fiberglass body and a whatever tube frame something and monocoque something. And that guy had himself like a, I don't know, 1.6 liter Lotus that was putting out 165 horsepower, just whooping up on everybody because we were all hollowed out and weighing 1,950 pounds, and this guy was 1,350 pounds, and he just nobody could stay with him.
Yeah.
So people don't – he probably – those guys were making less horsepower than the guys with the 1,800s in the L1800 Datsun motors, which were tweaked and making, you know, some cases 230 horsepower, but they couldn't hang because those guys were so light. Yeah. So you'll see it out on the track.
Oh, I mean, we've seen the 26Rs quite a few times at Coronado when we were racing
down there.
Yeah,
they kick ass there, and they kick ass at Laguna Seca, too. So shaving some weight is a big deal, even if you're down, you know, I, you know, like I said, some of those guys were probably down 30, 40 horsepower to some of the Datsuns or 2002 yeah. BMWs, but they were whooping up on them because of the weight. Well, what's up, Max Pata? What is a 20, what is a Lotus 26R in yeah. race trim? What does that weigh? Sorry, go ahead.
The Lotus's Spree is, they're planning on it being a hybrid sports car. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be super heavy because you're right. They do have sort of a theme going on. But you say hybrid sports car, and I start thinking Acura NSX, what they've done with the car. But they're saying it could be based off of the platform of the current Evora, which is has the supercharged Toyota engine. Oh. I think it's about 400 horsepower.
Sorry, I was way off. I said 1,350 pounds. It's 1,323.
Ugh.
Lost your touch.
Yeah, something. It probably drives, probably figuring, you know, with the oil, with the oil. Radiator, with the radiator full and everything. But go ahead.
A sandwich. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I mean, those guys. What is a, what's a race trim Datsun 510 coming in? I mean, that's, I don't think it's, it's not under 1,900 pounds. I don't believe. Just from what I was doing or what my memory serves. I mean,
1,890 curb weight.
1,890.
Yeah.
Both of these are a little low. That's a weird thing. So it's 1,900 pounds. I mean, you're giving away almost 600. You're giving away 500 plus pounds. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
Do it. Plus, I don't know if you see some of the guys who drive the 510s, but they're loads. There's some big dudes out there driving little cars.
You can see when they get in and the thing leans down to the left. Like, maybe you should jack up those coilovers a little bit. Anyway, so a Lotus's Spree could be a hybrid sports car is what they're saying. But then it starts to get weird, and they start doing the thing that every company is doing is they're also saying they're probably going to do a Lotus SUV.
Oh.
Right, because now they're like, well, how do we pay for the hybrid sports car? Mm-hmm. It's we make an SUV, we try to sell a bunch and see where it goes. But
when we think this thing's coming out?
Well, we're not exactly sure, but the reason why this is coming up is, as you've heard, Lotus is – you've seen them over the years. They've constantly changed hands and different investors and struggled here and there. They've also made a lot of announcements on cars that didn't really happen. But Geely, the Chinese company that owns Volvo
– oh, really? Yeah.
They own 51% controlling interest of Lotus, and the Lotus SUV could be based off of a – Volvo SUV platform.
I don't think anyone's covered more ground in the design and styling department than Volvo in the last
I drove them. I like the Volvo. I think it's a good looking vehicle, and those SUVs are pretty sharp that they have now.
Yeah, all you need to know to really appreciate what Volvo is now is to once in a while get behind one of those. Remember the Volvo when they were doing that notched thing with the kind of the trunk would come down and then the fenders would dip down and then the lights would be – and it's like they made some unattractive looking stuff in the modern era.
That shape is like the front of the Dodge Ram pickup truck. How it's like the hood and it pops out, and I think a Dodge – what was the mini truck Dodge that had that look? It wasn't a Durango because that's the SUV. There was like a smaller
Dakota.
Dakota.
I want to say Dakota.
There was a square one. Then after that, it had like that weird shape. It looked like the back of the Volvo.
Right.
It's like, I don't know why we're doing this, but anyway, interesting plans for Lotus. And that's also, it's weird because they have that crazy supercar we saw at the Quail last year. It was like an electric supercar, very futuristic, looked like something out of iRobot. It was on the stage in the middle of the grass field.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the name of it. And it's making the rounds. Like, maybe it has a future. They might make this thing, but
the electric supercar.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty nuts, but I'm trying to think of the name.
Max Panna wrote down Dodge Rampage, but
it's not. No, not the Rampage. Okay. No, no, no. It's Dodge Dakota. But what's the name of the Lotus? What's the name of the Lotus electric supercar? And then, well, put my mind at ease when we look at that. But we saw that thing.
Evija?
Yeah.
Evija.
Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah.
What's the new deal with the electric? with the supercars? Like, you know, is everyone have to sit around? It's the, oh yeah, we're looking at it. Looks good.
Yeah.
Does everyone have to fucking sit around and like, I got a hurricane. Hurricane. Do they just want us arguing over the pronunciation of everything so that they get out there and they just keep talking about how to pronounce something?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going?
I don't know why we're doing that. We're coming up with the wacky names.
If Tesla's
doing anything right, it's Model 3.
Right. Just find a fucking animal and just name it after it, you know. Find something.
Yeah.
You know, or the jackal or something, you know what I mean? Just find something. The hyena, you know, just find some tough animal and just name it after it, you know, Nighthawk, or, you know, name it after like a cologne from the 80s, you know what I mean? High Karate, Turbo, you know what I mean? Just something.
Yeah.
Don't do the fucking thing where no one could pronounce anything.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts. And also, I had to sit with a guy, and I had to sit with a rich guy a week and a half ago with Mike August, and he's like sitting there, we're eating steak. He's like, yeah, I got a couple of Gallardos.
Gallardos?
And I'm like, Gallardo?
Yeah.
Gallardo. Gallardo. Yeah. He's eating steak. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, whatever. I got a couple of
just
them.
Just enough with the silent or the L's. And by the way, I'm a Corolla.
Yeah.
And you're saying Gallardo, and that's Italian.
Are you...
Well, that's my whole point. I'm going Gallardo, but when it's not, it's a Corollo, like Corolla, like it's a difficult time.
Yeah, it is weird.
You give it like an X19, you know what I mean? You give it a designation. Stealth is always good, you know.
Dodge Stealth, remember that?
Fine, there's a couple of snakes, Mambo and Vipers and shit like that.
It's funny though, because when you say that, I think of, I went to school on an Indian reservation where animals are sacred, so your mascot can't be that. So we were the fighting artichokes. So fighting artichokes. They had,
what?
The mascot was like a big green artichoke.
What
and run around.
Was that? Why did this take so long for me to find out?
I thought we might have talked about this, but we might have been out.
What was it? What was the school?
It was a junior college. It's in Arizona.
Wow.
And it was on the reservation.
Are they still there?
Yeah.
What are they called?
Scottsdale Community College.
That's right.
Yeah, there it is. Fighting artichokes.
Oh, my God.
Look how happy. He doesn't look like he wants to fight.
What year did this fighting artichoke come into existence?
I remember him being angrier.
Oh, now you got to say
a fighting artichoke.
Fighting, but
now he's
smoke.
The jolly artichoke. I don't know what's going on, but I don't know.
Oh, you don't know what's going on? We're turning into Chick.
Yeah. He's the woke artichoke.
Yeah. Woke a choke.
It's a woke a choke.
He's from the woke a choke tribe. He's an elder from the woke a choke tribe.
Yeah.
In the woke a choke tribe, they don't have elders. They have 16-year-olds from Switzerland who tell them everything.
Everything.
That's how it works. Super angry chicks.
I had to leave that school.
The woke a choke. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, his name is Artie.
Artie. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
Is it? Oh, what year did he come into existence?
1970s.
All right. He was not. He was a different dude in the 70s.
Yeah. I bet he was angry back then.
He was adopted as a school's mascot to express a difference of opinion concerning budget priorities.
Yeah. That's not the story they tell.
Intended to be a source of embarrassment, Artie was embraced by the students, athletes, staff, and community as a beloved character.
Well, he's standing the test of time, I guess, over there.
Can you find any initial pictures of him, though? I guarantee you he was a fighting artichoke.
He was a fighting artichoke. Now he's
transitioning.
Now he's already the
he's transitioning. Yeah.
Look at the sketch.
Artie was angry.
Man, look, his arms were jacked.
His arm was
also
jacked.
He had arms.
Right. Now what?
Now
he's
got stubby leaves.
What's he look like in 2000? Oh, right. You know why? Because if 19-year-old kids saw the angry artichoke, they could be triggered. and have to go to their safe space. But
imagine being on that football team, though, right? And that thing runs out. That green Wokichoke runs out with his little T-Rex arms and his happy face, and people want to hug him. And they're like, kill, kill, kill. Like, it doesn't work.
What did it? But you showed us a rendering, Chris. I'm looking for, like, the first...
like, physical...
physical whatever, what it turned into.
Any
there's got to be... If that thing was walking the sidelines of a football game in 1978, there's got to be a picture of it. There just has to be, right? It's got to be something. Although the computer's weird.
He might have been in the chess club at the time, but...
yeah, he's off the grid back then.
But don't people, like, I don't know, doesn't everyone, like, take a picture of the yearbook from 1977 and, like, put it up online or something?
He's got to be in there somewhere. But
or just one from the 80s or 90s, you know. There's no old
drawings. Yeah, I'm not seeing any.
Oh, well, maybe they didn't. Maybe nobody.
He's been wiped from the internet. They don't want him angry.
Did they have a mascot? I mean, did they have the angry version?
There was kind of an angry version up there.
Made out of foam?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know when they did it. But I know when I was there, he was
a fighter.
Running around. I just remember him kind of being a fighter. And then I also remember the maintenance guys. They had, like, you know, the electric carts, but it's like the big flatbed one that you see.
Yeah, the Cushman with the flatbed.
Yeah. And they were electric. And I just remember those guys drag racing them at 13 miles an hour through the quad. Just like,
well, two of the guys just racing with bags of trash on the back. You think of this, you got to think of this intellect. First, junior college.
Yeah.
Secondly, junior college in Arizona.
Yeah.
Where 4-year colleges are like junior colleges in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And then on a reservation.
And janitor.
Yeah.
Like, that's, these guys have to be the dumbest people on the planet. But I respect them drag racing the Cushmans.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a bad gig. You get a bunch of keys back when you needed a bunch of keys.
Yes.
Probably had run of the place. Those guys could probably smoke wherever they wanted.
They probably smoked mid-drag race.
Hit the Cushman. Take the Cushman for a hot lap around the stadium, you know, like around the track.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I did that with my car, my 93 Cobra in high school. During school, everyone was in class, and I was part of an AV club, and we were supposed to just film, like, a life of in school. Like, so they were like, it was one of those classes where we were like, all right, class started, the bell rang. Take your camera, go walk the halls, go film something. So I grabbed a friend. I was like, let's go to the parking lot. And I grabbed my car, and I was on the track, the quarter mile, and I was running circles around the football field in my car in the middle of the day.
Wow.
I was living on the edge. It's on tape somewhere. Somewhere there's a VHS floating around.
You
maybe
and a
beta.
We should find that when we find the fighting artichoke.
Students felt upset about all the budgeting. So in 1972, they voted for a new mascot. They attempted to embarrass the leadership by adopting the artichokes, the fighting artichokes. Okay, I'll put the picture up. And so that was just
there
the team in the drawing, but they didn't actually have a physical manifestation of the costumes.
Mm-hmm. Well, backfired because it stuck. Let's see. What the heck?
It's a proud day.
The other two choices were the Scoundrels and the Rutabagas.
Scoundrels.
They didn't go with Scoundrels?
Well,
it's not embarrassing enough?
I don't know. See, I feel like Scoundrels turned the corner and turned into something kind of cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But that's my whole point. They wanted to humiliate the school.
Artichokes.
All right, let's see. You can check out I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. You can pre-order that at Amazon. Click through our website and get that. If you're going to get it, just pre-order it because it's good for the New York Times bestseller list and all that. And go to chassy.com and check out all the offerings. We have there all the movies and, get your Blu-ray of Uppity and I'll sign it and we'll send it out to you and all that stuff. What do you got, Matt?
Doing some work on the cars now. We got a little bit of time, so follow me on social media at Motoring.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live show events, and we'll try to keep you updated on stuff. For Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you probably own or rent. Sure you do, if you're listening to this. How about you bundle those policies with your auto policy? GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policies. Good thing. And saves a bunch of time, saves a bunch of money. So just go to GEICO.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving. GEICO makes it easy to bundle. That's GEICO, GEICO.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.